Speaking on this program is Jim Dearman.
Every day of our lives, we see signs on the highways or as we walk along that tell us to be cautious, that there could be a danger we need to avoid. The highway department puts up signs, and there are all sorts of warning signals and caution lights on the roads and so forth. Today, we're going to talk about another type of caution sign, another type of warning from the book of Hebrews. We're going to talk about a warning to believers. Yes, a warning to believers. There are those in the religious world who say there is no need to warn believers about the possibility of losing their salvation, because we're told there's no possibility for them to lose their salvation. But is that what the Bible teaches? The answer is clearly no. The Bible clearly teaches that a believer, one who has become a Christian, may so conduct himself after becoming a Christian as to lose his soul eternally. No, it's not a question of just losing the joy of one's salvation, as some contend. It's a question of losing salvation after becoming a Christian. I know of no better book to study than the book of Hebrews to show the truthfulness of the statement that a believer can fall away. It's generally believed that Paul is the author of Hebrews, though he does not identify himself as such. Evidence indicates that he's the author of the book, and in Hebrews 3:12 we find this warning about which we are going to speak today. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now listen to that warning again. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now that's a very clear warning, isn't it? In fact, there are hundreds of passages throughout the New Testament that show the possibility of apostasy. In fact, the impossibility of apostasy is simply not taught in the Scriptures. As the writer in this passage gives the warning, he uses the word brethren. It's obvious he's writing to fellow believers. They are brethren. Would he address unbelievers in this way? Of course not. Going back to the first verse of the third chapter, notice what he writes there. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Now notice who these brethren are. They are holy brethren. They are partakers of the heavenly calling. And so we've clearly established from Scripture that the writer of Hebrews is writing to those who are brethren. There can be no doubt that these Hebrews were true converts to Christianity. And he warns them, here it is again, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now notice the writer shows the reason for the warning. Beware. What is the danger? The danger is that there could be in them, those Christians, those holy brethren, those partakers of the heavenly calling, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. This clearly demonstrates the possibility of a Christian's heart becoming evil, and an evil heart comes before unbelief. You see, if the Christian allows evil to enter his heart, the result would be unbelief or falling away. If man fails to live up to the requirements of the faith, that is, the faith once delivered to the saints, that is, Christianity, he will grow to hate it, and finally, he will rebel against it. But we have to see the whole context of the book of Hebrews to understand clearly that there can be no doubt about what the writer is warning against. These Hebrew Christians, those who had been Jews and practiced Judaism and had converted to Christianity, were being influenced by Jews around them to come back to their old religion. They were being influenced to turn from Christianity and to return to Judaism. Well, of course, Judaism was of no value. It had served its purpose. It had been taken out of the way. The law of Moses had been nailed to the cross. And now the new law, the law of Christ, was in effect. And so the Hebrews writer is writing to them to encourage them to stand fast, to be faithful, to remain Christians. And in so doing, he admits by his very admonition that there is the possibility they could turn their backs upon Christianity and go back to Judaism. Now, is there anyone who could possibly believe that if these Christians returned to the dead religion of Judaism, they would still be saved eternally? How could it be so? Remember the warning, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, notice that word departing for a moment. What does it tell us? It tells us there is no doubt about the possibility of departing or falling away after becoming a Christian. Again, why would Paul introduce the subject, if Paul be the writer of Hebrews, why would he introduce the subject of falling away, departing, or apostasy? They're all one and the same. Why would he introduce the subject of apostasy if there existed no possibility of its occurring in the lives of these Christians? It simply would never have been introduced if it were not a possibility. Now, as we've said, not only here in the book of Hebrews, but in hundreds of passages throughout the Scriptures, we find warnings about falling away. We find examples of falling away. Other passages in the Hebrew letter teach it. For example, Hebrews 6, 4 through 6. What does it say? For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, they're Christians, and have tasted the heavenly gift, these are Christians, have become partakers of the Holy Spirit, these are Christians again, and have tasted the good word of God, yes, Christians, and the powers of the age to come, listen, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance. Since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put Him to an open shame. Now, can one who is characterized as having crucified again the Son of God and put Him to an open shame still be saved eternally if he will not repent? Why, certainly not. Now, about whom is the Hebrews writer writing here in Hebrews 6, 4 through 6? He's writing about Christians, those who were once enlightened, those who had tasted the good word of God, those who had become children of God, Christians, that is. Now, keep in mind, the whole context here is the Hebrews writer writing to these Hebrew Christians and saying to them, in effect, don't turn your back, please don't turn your back on Christianity. Please don't let these Jews lure you back into that dead religion of Judaism which has been taken out of the way. If you do that, there remains no means of repentance for you. The cross of Christ is the only avenue you have to the Father. If you turn your back upon the cross you once embraced, there's nothing else that can renew you again. Please don't turn your backs upon it. That's the message here. But you know, there are those who say, well, yes, we can lose the joy of our salvation, but not salvation itself. But is that what this passage teaches that we've just read from Hebrews 6, 4 through 6? Is that what the book of Hebrews is talking about? Does the writer say anywhere in this book, please, brethren, don't turn your back on the joy of your salvation? Oh, you'll still be saved, but you'll lose a lot of joy. Don't do that, brethren. Is that what we hear in this book? No, never. The writer makes it absolutely clear, as does the whole of the New Testament, that when a Christian turns his back upon Christianity, and he can do so, he will lose his eternal soul in hell unless he comes back, unless he returns to his first love. We find admonitions in Scripture where the Lord Himself, in the Revelation letter, called upon those in certain churches to repent, to return to their first love, or He would remove their candlesticks out of their places. Now, does that sound like the joy of salvation that was going to be lost, or does that sound like the loss of salvation itself? Surely, if we're objective and honest in our examination, we must come to the conclusion clearly that a child of God, that is, one who's truly become a Christian by belief in Christ, by repentance of his sins, by confession of the good and sweet name of Jesus, and by burial and baptism, one who's thus been added to the kingdom, the church, that one can, such a one can still so conduct himself after that time in a way to ultimately and eternally lose his soul. There's no question about that. The child of God can lose his soul. Now, we've talked quite a bit about the New Testament, but God's people have always been warned against apostasy. You go back to Deuteronomy and see the blessings and the curses that Moses set before the people of God long ago. He talked about the fact that these curses would come upon them and overtake them, pursue them. Then he gave the reason as to why that would occur. In Deuteronomy 28, verses 45 through 47, Moses told the Israelites of old, "Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep His commandments and His statutes which He commanded you. And they shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder and on your descendants forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything." Oh, there's some important teaching there. Not only were they going to be rejected for not serving the Lord, but because they did not serve Him with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. Ingratitude led to their downfall. We see examples in the Israelites then who did not remain faithful, but we also see in certain disciples of Jesus those who turned away from him and walked no more with him. John 6, verse 66. Hymenaeus and Alexander are mentioned specifically as having fallen away. Phagellus and Hermogenes are mentioned. No, you see, no person who's honest with God's Word can deny that the Bible teaches the believer may fall away. A person can become a Christian and still conduct himself thereafter in a way so as to lose his eternal salvation. Therefore, we must beware if we are Christians, we must take heed to the warning of Hebrews 3:12 and hundreds of other warnings throughout Scripture. But this one we've studied in particular in Hebrews 3:12 reminds us, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." But as we close our thoughts today, let's think about how we come to the living God initially in obedience to the gospel. One must believe with all of his heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, or else he will die in his sins, Jesus said in John 8:24. But then one must allow that belief to move him forward, to repent, that is, change his mind about his sins and his life and turn away from those sins in repentance. Luke 13:3, Jesus said, and again at verse 5, "I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." But then we must also confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus promised in Matthew 10:32 that if we confess him before men, he will confess us before the Father in heaven. But then we must be baptized, buried in water where the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." Mark 16:16. And then upon that obedience to the gospel, we are added to the church by the Lord himself. And then we must remain faithful unto death to receive the crown of life.